Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've been to a wedding recently, I know there's quite a few of you who actually have. We had a couple in the last month here. I was just joking that we had one a week ago, and it feels like a month ago that wedding was. A lot has been going on. You really understand the picture that Jesus is talking about when you think about a wedding banquet. And as much as we have seating and more at weddings, people actually don't put assigned seating. They can kind of say, well, you pick your spot. Imagine if you were at a wedding and, you know, there's some open spots and there actually were some reserved tables up in front, but the sign, like, fell down. And so you're sitting up there, and everyone is finally getting all their spots, and all of a sudden you see that some of the relatives up in the front, they're coming, they haven't sat down yet, and it's the table that you're sitting at. And now everyone else is sitting down, and so up in front of everyone, you have to go from the front as the family is kind of coming up, as they're saying, I'm sorry, this is their seat. You have to now find the spot, which is probably way in the back, the only open seat. Now for us, again, you can understand a little bit of what this is like, but in a culture of honor and shame where Jesus is telling this parable, this would have been a very shameful thing. This would have been very dishonoring. And in our text, we're going to really see that it's much better to have that there's a seat that's given to you instead of a seat that's taken. And when we're thinking about our place, is it a seat taken, something that I take? Or when we're being proud, is it a seat that is taken from me? Or is it better to have a seat that is given? That's where we get into what Jesus is talking about. And in the parable, when Jesus told parables, there's oftentimes, even when we study the parables, you might look at a parable and you're like, what is he talking about? Even the disciples often would go and say, Jesus, can you explain what this parable is all about? What's very fascinating is this parable, do you need any explanation? And then think about the context of where it's told. It's being told at a feast. This is there is a prominent Pharisee. And notice what Jesus, it says there. It says, on one Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being watched carefully. So there's this banquet going on, and people are watching Jesus. Then it says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Here's a fine meal, and during this meal, what happens? But Jesus tells a parable about a meal. People he's talking to and encouraging to really take this to heart are there, and of course, they really understood it. And so he goes into the parable. He says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. Don't take that place of honor, but take a lower seat. Later on, when he kind of tells the second parable, he says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. The warning here of taking the higher seat, and the second part of having a feast, inviting all the popular people, is about what a lack of humility does, is what pride does. Pride puts you on display. This is exactly what the Pharisees were all about. They wore the fanciest of clothes, and they prayed out in the street. They fasted so everyone could see them. They wanted everyone to see them and to see that they were holier and so great. And so they put themselves out on display. And so Jesus is warning about this humility, this pride. Why? What does a lack of humility do? What does inviting everyone there so that you can get good things? Well, a lack of humility is the root of many sins. You can think about pride and how when I put myself out there to be the most important, that causes so many sins. The book we're reading on Sunday nights, Mere Christianity, later has a whole chapter, and it calls pride the chief sin. Well, why is it a sin that leads to so many sins? Well, what was the sin of the devil? Pride. He wanted a higher place. And then what did the devil tempt Adam and Eve with? Said, you can become like God. God is keeping something from you. And so they had a lack of humility. They were prideful and said, we can be like God. And Luther says, almost every sin is a sin of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, because we put ourselves to be most important. A lack of humility, when we're prideful, it causes us to think we know best, and it puts ourselves up in front of others and puts down others. And think about even in relationships, how I have to be right or it has to be done my way. That can destroy so many relationships and marriages. And it takes the heart away and puts you on a pedestal. So what happens when we don't have a lack of humility? What happens when we are prideful? Jesus explains in the parable, if you take that place, that high place, it says, if so, the host who invited both of you will come to say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. Later in verse 11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humble. What happens when we have a lack of humility? When we're prideful? The saying often goes, pride comes before the fall. Think about it this way of be humble or be humble. And have you experienced that? You can probably think about that when that's happened in your life. At school, among your friends, you start boasting. You think you know everything. Or you can do, you got the greatest shot. You're the best. And then, ooh, that fall comes really hard. Or at work, you become boastful and proud, but then the boss cracks down on you and you've made a big mistake because in your pride, you missed something. You can probably remember a time in your life where your pride got in the way and it led to a large fall, where you weren't being humble and so then you were humble. This is important. We need to be humbled at times because pride causes so many sins. We need to learn from it and to see what to cling to, what to go to. Jesus encourages the people then to take the lower seat. Right? When you're invited, take the lowest place so that when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Humility is something that is much higher regarded in Christianity than many other places. And why is Christian humility so important and kind of overlooked? Because people don't really understand the purposes of it or how you can have true good humility. Christian humility, we can summarize as saying it's placing yourself lower. To not put yourself in the highest seat, but to take a low seat. And what does that look like? Well, we can say, you can summarize Christian humility in a couple different ways. The first one has to do with sin. And to understand that no one is righteous, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know some first and second graders learned that this week. What does that remind you of is, I'm no greater than anyone else. That pride is saying, I'm better than you, you're not as good as me. And when I can understand that sin unites us, that I am the worst of sinners, that it puts me in a lower place, it humbles me. And maybe you can think about it this way of thinking sometimes, am I capable of evil things? Sometimes we say, well, I haven't done that, or I haven't done that horrible sin, so I'm a pretty good person, but we probably forget that lie or that horrible thing that I don't want anyone to know. So sin, it puts us lower because of the truth. We have that sinful nature. And what does that lead to, though? A good thing of repentance. That I can't do it on my own, and I need to cling to Jesus. If you're not humble, if you don't realize your sin, is there any reason to repent? And repentance, it's a turning away from sin, but it's also a trusting in Jesus that He has forgiven me, that He has done the work. And so when I'm humble, when I understand that I've sinned, I can repent and cling to Jesus in faith. And when I cling to Him then, this is kind of the second definition of Christian humility. That you can think about it when you see that proud person. Do you notice a proud person? Yeah, you can see it. Do you notice a humble person? The humble person really doesn't make it about themselves, but a proud person is all about themselves. And so how do we think about humility in a Christian sense? It's not about thinking of yourselves too little or thinking about yourselves too great, but thinking about yourself less. Kind of the definition of selflessness, to think about yourself less. Because you don't, sometimes you think about people, well, they're humble because they're really beat up themselves and they don't think that they're great. Well, if you beat up on yourself all the time, you're still making it all about yourself. We understand that the proud people, the people who think about themselves all the time as being great, well, that's not humility. But also, when you say you're miserable, you're always thinking about yourself too. Notice that, yes, we talk about that we're sinful, but we don't say that we're miserable. So we think about ourselves less. We're selfless, and so who do we think about? We think about God. Think less about yourself and think more about God. And what does this look like? In catechism class this week, I showed a meme, a picture of a man who's all cheering and excited, and it says, a Christian at a sports event. And then the next line says, a Christian at church, and the picture's like. And my point isn't that I don't want you to stand up and cheer in church. Yeah, woo! But what do you get excited about? What do you think about all the time? What are you talking about all the time? Oh, those Packers, they got Micah Parsons. Oh, and you talk about that and talk about it and spend all the time thinking about sports, and you're so excited. And I even asked the question, I said, well, if you go to a Packer game, do you want to invite all your friends? Do you want your best friends to be there? Do you want everyone to be there? And how early do you get to the game? And, well, it's all about that. Well, do you want to invite your friends to church? And one of the students said, no. And then she thought, oh, wait. Why is that? Why do we get so excited about everything else? Do we love Jesus? Are we thinking about Jesus so much? Or are we thinking about so many other things and thinking about ourselves as well? It's hard because we have that sinful nature and all these other things are exciting. But how do we think more about Jesus but being in worship and spending time daily connecting with Jesus through prayer and devotion? Grow that relationship with Him and spend time with Christians and talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is what is going to give you the ability to remove that pride, to give you the true sense and give you the right place. No pride and not beating down on yourself. And why is that? Why does Jesus do this? Well, we see here again, it says, but when you're invited, take the lowest place so that when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. What is it all about? But for Jesus to say, friend, move up to a better place. It's not a seat taken, but it's only a seat that can be given. A seat that can be given because it's grace and mercy. And that faith is a gift. It's nothing that I can earn from God. When I understand my sin and how I've fallen short, I have to cling to Jesus. And then I see what Jesus has done. What does it say that Jesus did? He came and took the lowest seat. He humbled himself to have death on the cross. The worst of deaths. And then he took your sin, he suffered your sin, and went to hell for you, and then was raised to the highest place. But then, as it says, friend, move up to a better place, we don't then have a low place, but what does Jesus do? He gives us his place. What are we now called? We're called heirs. We're sons of God. We are welcomed into the family of God because Jesus gave it to you. We talk about forgiveness and God has forgiven us, but we also have to understand that God has removed your shame. When you have the picture of someone that is sitting in that high seat and now they have to go shamefully walk to the end. We sometimes understand that, yeah, I'm forgiven, but I hold on to that shame. I can't go to church because I did this thing. Or, yes, God forgives me, but I'm this horrible person. God has removed your shame, and He gives you honor and glory to say you are a forgiven child of God. You are loved and redeemed, just like that prodigal son who runs to his father and wants to become a slave. And the father gives him the robe and welcomes him in, restored and redeemed. And to think about that better place, what does that better place mean? You have a better place. You're forgiven. You're at peace now. So much better than anything else in this world can offer, understanding you have this now, but to understand there's still yet a better place. To think about your loved one who's passed away on to be with their Savior. And what does Jesus say when they die? But friend, move up to a better place. A place without the pain and the suffering and the horrible tragedies of this world. This is a place that we have in store. And it gives us hope and meaning and it gives us a purpose to go out and to tell people there's a better place. There's a better place in here where you hear of God's love and mercy, a better place in God's Word, but in the end, there's going to be a better place where God brings us through faith in Jesus to a place with Him. Sin removed, shame removed, perfect and honored as a child of God. So know of your love and forgiveness. Know that you cannot earn it. A seat cannot be taken in heaven, but it can only be given through faith and a gift by the grace of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.